to set aside this day for the Lord, for holy is the Lamb.
All right, good morning. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Philemon. Philemon. I have been in arguments before over how you say this. I've heard Philemon, Philemon, Phil. It's Philemon. Philemon. Let's turn to Philemon. There are no chapters, just verses. Philemon 18 through 28 is where we're going to be today. And I'm going to talk to you about mending fractured relationships. Mending fractured relationships. Philemon verses 8 through 18. There was a man who was exploring a cave nearby, a seashore. And in one of the caves that he was exploring, he found a canvas bag with a bunch of hard clay balls. And it was like someone had rolled these up, especially for this bag, and they just left them in the sun to bake. And they're just hard on the outside, nothing real fancy about them or beautiful about them. They didn't look like much at all, but the man thought they were interesting, that he found them, and so he takes the bag with him. And as he strolled along the beach, he began to pick up these clay balls and just throw them as far as he could into the ocean. And he thought just a little bit about these balls, like what's the significance of these? He was enjoying throwing them until he dropped one on the ground and it cracked open. And on the inside, he found beautiful, precious stone inside these clay balls. And so the man begins to say, well, these are treasure. And he begins to keep the clay balls for himself. And he opens up other clay balls and finds the same thing. There's just treasure after treasure inside this bag. And then it struck him. He had been on this beach a long, long time. By this point, he had probably thrown 50 or 60 of these things out into the ocean. And even though he could take home maybe thousands of dollars in cash when it comes to these clay balls, he realized that he could never get back the ones that he threw away. It's just like that in our relationships, our friendships, our marriages, our church family. Sometimes we look at one another and we've done this to ourselves. We may have had this done to us. Well, I know we've done it to other people. But we look at them on the outside and we may not like what we see. Now, I know that's impossible for me because I'm so good looking. But I know for others, you have a hard time. You look at someone and you just see the outside, just clay vessels. Maybe they're not as beautiful. Maybe they're not as attractive. Maybe they're not so sparkling. Maybe they aren't so popular. Maybe they aren't so wealthy, or maybe they don't come from a good background. And so what we do is we often take relationships that we don't want and we discount them and we ignore them and we throw them away. Perhaps we see people as less important as someone else who may offer you something more. But oftentimes we fail to find the value, the treasure inside of a person. And what we do oftentimes is we throw away that friendship or that enemy or that person who has offended us, and we forfeit the treasure that's inside, the real beauty that's within. As I think about friendships and relationships and just that very thought about treasure inside of people, I'm quickly reminded of what I was surrounded by this past week. I'm not going to share with you the details of our trip to Baltimore because I'm going to wait until the end of August when our full team gets to do that. But I will tell you one story. I was surrounded this week by about 60 or 70 little children in inner city East Baltimore during our mission trip. And I didn't get to know all of them personally. Every day it seemed like there were new children, and sometimes children didn't come back and sometimes new ones came, but then there were some who stayed all week. But I did get to know one very, very well. And I want to share with you about a friend that I met. His name is John. And John, when I met him, and I'm really ashamed by this, but John on the outside, he was an intimidating young man. He was a big black guy. And he was muscular. He had muscles on top of muscles. He was 15 years old, and he had scars. He had tattoos. He had a police record. He had jail time, and most likely, he had seen more and experienced more in his short life than most of us will ever see in our whole life. And he had a bit of a mouth on him at first, and I decided in my heart I was not going to argue with him. He was definitely a flirt with some of the girls, and he feared nothing. And he was slightly obnoxious. And to think that I was going to have to work with him all week on the football field, at first I didn't want to put up with it. And so in my own flesh, I could have avoided him. I could have not tried to speak to him. I could have even requested a different assignment, but God kept pressing on my heart, this is what you came for. You need to get to know John. You need to try to talk to him. And so I did. One afternoon, I got to hear his story. John's mother was killed. His father is in jail, doesn't want him. And he's living with his grandmother right now, with his siblings. And as a child, John, of course, growing up in inner city Baltimore, there's not so many routes that you can take. And so as a child, he began to get involved with violence, drugs, poverty, other types of trouble. And what I kept hearing throughout his story is that everybody that he had ever met or tried to gain relationship with, nobody wanted him. People would turn away from him. And so many throughout his life had said no to him. So many had done just as I began to do, you know, and began to judge him on the outside. And so many people had hurt him. So many people had never really given him a chance. And once he told me his story, it's like the Lord just mended everything that we had against one another, and we came together. And he, I found out, was one of those clay balls with treasure within. I rejoiced after he told me, you know, the nasty part of his story. I rejoiced in the fact that there's a man in inner city Baltimore named Charlie Brown. His name is Charlie Brown. He's our church planner, and that's one that we partner with and we support. And Charlie found value in John. And Charlie began to minister to John and share Christ with John and reached out to John. And here's what's so great about it. He eventually won John's heart to the Lord. And John has a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so John was at camp with a great responsibility to serve as an intern at this sports camp. And so I want to just want to make this clear. He was rough on the outside. He had scars. He had made mistakes. And boy, did he struggle. But somebody found beauty in that young man. And I resolved to do that too. And I was so honored to get to know him. And God willing, come August the 6th, he's going to be here with us at church. And he's going to get to visit North Carolina for a while. We're going to get him out of the city. And I hope that we'll get a chance to love him for that week. But his life, John's life, is a reflection of someone reaching out, you know, exemplifying grace, extending mercy and love and support, because he had been hurt so much. And so John is one of those kids that just carried around fractured relationship after fractured relationship. And I was so thankful when he said, somebody gave me a chance. Somebody gave me a chance. Broken relationships, we've all got them. I know that, okay? We've all been a part. Maybe we have been the reason that relationships have been broken. And I know for a fact that myself, I've been broken before by words or actions. I've been on the other side where I've hurt other people's feelings. But what do we do? Here's my question. What do we do after a relationship is fractured? What do we do? Do we throw the relationship away? Do we forfeit the friendship? Or do we deepen the wounds by, you know, further retaliation? Or do we reconcile? Do we choose to restore? Do we choose to receive those whom have hurt us? And do we choose to forgive those in love whom have hurt us? And I know that relationships require, you know, two sides. I know that relationships require two people to work through things together. And I know that you are probably thinking, well, I can't make anybody love me or accept me, or I can't make them want to be around me. But I do want to remind us today, you are responsible for you. And so if the other side doesn't want to make things right, you can in your heart make things right when a relationship is fractured. Paul wrote a letter to a man named Philemon. This is a person that was in the middle of a fractured relationship. Out of all the letters that Paul wrote, this was the only one that is considered private in nature. In other words, it wasn't meant for another church, Okay, even though we, the church, benefit from it, it was meant to be a letter written directly to Philemon from Paul, just for Philemon, because the call in this letter is for Philemon to go out of his way to make things right with someone that had a fractured relationship with him. It's an incredibly short letter. It's a personal appeal from Paul to Philemon to give grace and to give forgiveness and acceptance to someone who had strayed. And so in this letter, you're going to learn about three characters. Three people, okay, that we're going to talk about throughout. In this letter, you're going to meet Paul. Everybody say Paul.
Paul.
We know who Paul is. Paul's the apostle of Jesus Christ. He's the author of this letter. He's a friend to both Philemon and Onesimus. Okay, Paul is in Rome. He's on house arrest. Does that surprise you that Paul's in trouble? Okay, and he's serving a 2-year sentence while he's writing this letter. And he's writing this letter to a man named Philemon. Everybody say Philemon. Philemon was a Christian slave owner. We don't have time today to talk about whether slavery is right or wrong. We know that it's wrong. Okay, and Paul doesn't take any time in this letter to talk about whether or not it was right or wrong in their time. It was a common thing in their time. Okay, but Philemon was a Christian slave owner who lived in the city of Colossae. This is Turkey, Asia Minor. Okay, he was a landowner, and he was also a church or a church host. Meaning that he hosted a house church in Colossae there, right with him. So he was a church leader. He was a close personal friend of Paul. It's possible that Paul led Philemon to Christ too. But then we meet another one. We meet another one named Onesimus. Everybody say Onesimus. All right. He's a runaway slave of Philemon. He had met the apostle Paul in his fleeing. And one of the privileges of being on house arrest, if there is a privilege, is that for 24 hours, 7 days a week, you have somebody watching over you, which means you can't go anywhere, but people can always come and visit you. And so Paul was on house arrest, and Philemon had fled away from, or Onesimus had fled away from Philemon, and now he's a visitor. Onesimus is a visitor of Paul, and it's possible that Onesimus had wronged Philemon. That's what we get from this letter. Maybe he stole from Philemon. Maybe he lied to Philemon. Maybe he harmed Philemon. But what we do know is that he encountered Paul, and Paul in turn led Onesimus to Jesus Christ. And what he wrote this letter to do, what he wrote this letter for, was to see that Philemon and Onesimus made things right in a relationship that had been fractured. And so I just want to shortly give you a few things to think about today. I'm going to make one point this morning. I'm going to make two more tonight about how we can mend fractured relationships. And so here's the one thing I want you to get today. In order to see fractured relationships mended, a reception must take place. A reception must take place. I want you to see Philemon verses 8 through 14. Paul writes, "Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." In other words, this is a call to respect. Okay, Paul says that I, out of love, I'm telling you this. I am aged. I have lived my life, and I've served the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm being bold, but it's very fitting that I tell you to do this. So you look at verse 10. "I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains." In other words, Onesimus has come to know Jesus while I'm in my chains. Okay, I've begotten him. He's a son in the faith. Verse 11, "who once was unprofitable to you." Now here's what's neat about Onesimus' name. His name means profitable. And so here's what Paul's playing around here. Okay, there's a play on words. The one who is profitable used to be unprofitable to you, but now he's profitable to you and me. I won't repeat that. Okay. But that's what it means. Verse 12, "I'm sending him back. You therefore," here it is. What does it say? "You therefore receive him. That is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good need might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntarily." Now, when you're upset with someone, when the relationship is hurting, The natural thing to do, the fleshly thing to do, the sinful thing to do in response is to do what? To put up guards, right? Everybody here has guards that they have put up before when someone was at fault, or you know, when you were wrong with someone, a relationship was fractured, okay? What we do when we are hurt is we put up these barricades, we put up these walls, these guards. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to guard our feelings, we're trying to guard our minds, we're trying to guard our hearts. And so what we do is we close up. And oftentimes we go to the extremes when we've got somebody that's upset with us, we go to the extremes and we vow that we will never let what happened to us ever happen again. And sometimes we even go as far to say, what they said to me, what they did to me, how they spoke to me, how they treated me, I will never let that happen again. And so what we do is we throw those clay stones away. We don't want to see the treasure. We don't want to ask if there's treasure there. We just ball up our fists, we put up our barricades, and we say, you know what? Those types of people, they have no access to my heart, to my life. I give up on. And so we close up. But here it is today, folks. If you're going to learn to forgive, and if I'm going to learn to forgive, if we're going to see some of these broken relationships actually mended, we're going to have to learn, we're going to have to put that guard down, we're going to have to allow it to come down for a moment, and our life is going to have to be somewhat open, giving room for God to do the miraculous, and that's to bring two sinful people together in Christian love. It's an impossible task for man. But God can do it. And so Philemon is now being called to receive Onesimus, whom has harmed him. It was so bad. No, it has to be bad if the slave runs away from the master. It has to be bad. Because in that time, I really believe that Philemon, if he was a slave owner, I believe that he was a godly slave owner, if that's possible. And so I want to say that this type of relationship was like that of a bondservant. That he made the place hospitable. He made it a place to enjoy. He made the work enjoyable, okay? And so somehow when this relationship was broken, it must have been so bad and Philemon must have been so upset that Onesimus got scared and he ran away. Now, here's the fun part about this book and this scenario. If you're in Philemon's shoes and you had been hurt by Onesimus, and he came back to you. I want you to be Philemon. And I want the person who has wronged you to be Onesimus. And they come back to you as Paul has said. And you've been called to receive them. I want to ask you today in your heart. And you know the truth. Okay, you know the truth. And we're going to tell the truth. Not because, just because we're around Christian people. Or because it's Sunday. You know your heart. And so you know how you handle those grudges that you have in your life. You know how you handle. Do you know in your heart that if somebody came back to you who had harmed you, who had stolen from you, who had cheated you. You've named the scenario. They come back to you wanting to receive forgiveness and restoration, would you in your heart be able to say, I receive you. I receive you. I want you to notice a few things about Onesimus that had happened in his life that are worth considering. And you need to consider these things too if you're ever in this moment when a relationship that has been fractured needs to be mended. Here's a few things I want you to keep down. First, Onesimus, when he returned to Philemon, we find that Onesimus had turned from his sin. Paul sending Onesimus back to Philemon because a change had happened in his life. Okay, now you say, well, how do you know that? Because the scripture doesn't say in Philemon that Onesimus had repented of his sins. But Paul says in latter verses that Onesimus had now become useful for God's work. In order to be useful for God's work, in the way that Paul describes it, somebody has to give their heart over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. He was a different man. More on this to come. Here's the reality. If Philemon was reading this letter, you've got to think about it. We didn't have text messages in this day. There were no emails. And letter writing was a slow process. You wrote a letter, somebody had to deliver it by foot, and it took a long time. Okay, it took a long time to get this letter from one house to the other. If this letter made it into Philemon's hands, do you know who would have carried the letter? It had been Onesimus. Onesimus would have brought this letter to Philemon. And so there's a great chance that Onesimus is standing before Philemon when this letter is first read. And the very fact that Onesimus was willing to stand before Philemon, a sinful man who had wronged him, there's a very great chance here that he had an attitude of repentance, a heart that had turned away from his sin, and he wanted to make things right. Onesimus the slave is now standing before his master that he had wronged. Again, we don't all know that, you know, we don't know everything that Onesimus had done against Philemon, but it was enough that it had gotten Paul's attention. Now listen, Paul would not have wasted his time trying to address people that he may not have known or even cared about. If Paul wrote you a letter, it was important. I mean, who's Paul? Paul just wrote half the New Testament. Okay. All right. Behind Jesus Christ, he's probably the most well-known figure in the New Testament. All right. And so if Paul wrote it, we needed to listen about it. Okay. And so Paul said, Onesimus has turned from his sin. He's been repentant. And so he calls him in verse 12, receive him, Philemon. Receive him. Open your heart up to receive him so that you both can be set free. And so you have Onesimus had turned his heart away from sin. Here's the second thing. This is why we should receive those who come to us for forgiveness. The second thing that had happened is that he had been transformed. He had been transformed, all right? Onesimus had been transformed by Jesus Christ. I love verse 10 when Paul writes, he's my begotten, he's my child, he's my son in the faith. It's the same that he would have wrote as to Timothy, who was a son in the faith. Onesimus has become my son. Paul said in verse 11, Onesimus was once unprofitable to you, but now he's profitable to both you and to me, Philemon. And so in other words, Onesimus has given his heart to Christ. He's ready to serve, and he's ready to serve well. And so Paul called us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, to serve the Lord with sincerity of the heart, fearing the Lord. And that's what Onesimus was ready and willing to do, okay? And so Paul says to Philemon, he's useful, he's no longer useless, so you've got to receive him. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just recommending that you, a godly man, make things right with another man who has given his heart to Jesus. Now I want you to listen to me for a moment. And I know that this may be hard for you to do, because a lot of us in this room, we've got this thing called pride, don't we? And when we're never wrong. We're never wrong. And so what we do when someone sins against us or hurts us or harms us or our family, what we do is we're very easy to hold grudges when we've been hurt. And so we need to remember this, that regardless if a person has been changed or saved or not, we have a biblical responsibility in Christ Jesus to forgive them and love them, even if they never do what Onesimus did. We're supposed to do that. Ephesians 4:32 says to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ has forgiven you. And I can assure you of this, no matter how much someone may hurt you, it will never hurt you or offend you as much as they may have hurt or offended God. And so if they sinned against you, they're not really sinning against you, they're sinning against the Lord. Okay, and so when we sin, we are sinning against God, our holy and righteous and faithful Lord. And here's what I want you to see. When we were so sin-filled, when we had been so low in sin and in pride and shame, and we needed God to forgive us, and we needed God's grace and compassion and mercy on our life, what did God do when we came before Him and said, we need that forgiveness? What did God do? Did He put the barricades up? Did He close you up? Did He shut you off? Did He close up heaven? Did He say, I can't and won't forgive you because you did this to me? No. God forgives us, God loves us, God received us into His family and His care and salvation, and He didn't ask any questions. Somebody should have said amen there. If God could forgive us, and believe me, how we've hurt the Lord, right? How we've hurt the Lord. Goodness, how we hurt Him even after we come to know Christ. If God could forgive us, surely we could receive a brother or sister who has been transformed by Jesus Christ in grace and in love. No objections should be made. We should receive them. Especially when it comes to the family of God. And so Onesimus, when he ran away from Philemon, he may not have been a part of the family of God when he ran away, but when he came back to Philemon, he's a part of the family of God. This is my brother that's coming to me that needs to be forgiven. And so Onesimus is now useful. He's living up to his name. His name means useful or profitable. It's a common slave name to be useful and profitable. But now he's living up to it. I'm useful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the third reason why Philemon should have received Onesimus. This is the last one. He was trustworthy. He was trustworthy. Paul said, Onesimus has my own heart. Now I want you to look at, let's see, verse 11. It says, Onesimus, who was once unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and me, I am sending him back. Now look at this. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart. Paul said, my feelings for Onesimus are so deep, so genuine for this man, that he had taken him into his care and he had become his heart. Even though he was a slave to sin at that time, Paul taught him how to be a child of God. Right? And so Paul called him to Christ and led him to Christ. And Onesimus was now transformed. And Paul trusted Onesimus. He trusted his salvation enough, okay, that he says, I'm going to send him back to you. And I'm going to send him back to you as my own heart. And he's saying, in other words, he's saying, Philemon, give this man a second chance. I'm sending you my heart. This is what my life's about. I've led Onesimus to Christ and I've grown so close to him over this time. He's been changed. He's been transformed. He's now ready to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, Onesimus, he's so trustworthy. He's so faithful. And Paul wanted to keep Onesimus with him. There's the thing. Paul said, if you won't have him, I'll have him. Okay, but Paul's saying, I'm sending Onesimus to you so that you can make things right. But just know, I trust Onesimus so much and I trust the God that has saved him so much that I would want him to serve me and be a laborer of the gospel with me. Listen, folks, not just anybody could serve with the Apostle Paul. Okay, Paul, below Jesus, is the most notable name in the New Testament. Do you really think that he would have somebody on his team that he could not trust? He trusted Onesimus. Paul trusted him and he calls Philemon to do the same. Now here's the thing. Paul's writing to responsible adults. I'm speaking to responsible adults today. Paul wasn't going to force this to happen. Paul's not going to force forgiveness. But in this letter, he pleads with Philemon to receive him. And this is my favorite part, as Paul's own heart. Receive him as you would receive me. And that's hard to ignore. Philemon needed to receive Onesimus, for he had been changed, he had been transformed, turned from his sin, and he is now trustworthy, a child of God. There was something valuable, here it is, there was something valuable to Jesus about Onesimus. And Paul said to Philemon, I've seen it, I've witnessed the change made in his life, I've watched him cross from a slave to a free man, a sinner to a saint, a lost man to being found, an unforgiven man to being forgiven by God. Can you, Philemon, do the same? Can you receive him in your home? There's a call to receive. We have a responsibility when relationships are broken or fractured. We know what to do. The problem is we often don't do it. And so, church, I want you to know today, I love you more than you'll ever know. I love you. But one tendency that I see across the board in churches all across this state and this nation throughout is that inside the church, there happens to be at times the spirit of unforgiveness. It happens. Okay? You want to know why churches split up? You want to know why people don't stay together? You want to know why division happens and so many other churches are just, they're planting around and around across the street from one another? You want to know why? Because they don't trust each other. They don't love each other. They don't forgive each other. There's a spirit of unforgiveness in the body of Christ. Listen, I served in a church in Asheville one time. They got upset with one another. And the church that split apart from them built a church half a block away from this church. So every Sunday morning, you'd walk up the front steps and you could see the steps of the other church. And here we are, 35, 40 years later, and they can't tell each other why in the world they split in the first place. There's a spirit of unforgiveness. Everybody's done it before. And here it is. The wounds may be deep, but we are called as believers in Christ first and foremost to receive one another in a spirit of compassion, in love, in grace, and forgiveness. We have to, folks. We need to. We've been given and have received grace from the Lord Jesus Christ, love and salvation. We've been given peace with God. We have been called to pass it on. And so here's my challenge and my call to us today. Let's not be an army that shoots the wounded, right? Let's not do that. Let's help be a part of the healing. Let's receive the hurting and the wounded. For we were once there at one point in our lifetime as well, spiritually. The gospel is about the goodness and the grace of God. The gospel is all about a second chance extended to us in grace and forgiveness. The gospel is about giving us freedom and new life in Jesus Christ. And I've got to ask you today, can you, will you, are you willing to do that for somebody else who may have wronged you? Or are you willing to do that if you have wronged someone else? Are you willing to cross that line and say, I'm sorry? Are you willing to respect them enough to say, God has changed my life and my heart, and this friction that's between us, this division that's between us, that's not supposed to happen. We're supposed to come together in love. Could you receive someone so that they may begin to be restored as Philemon is being called here by Onesimus to do? Listen, folks, we can't do that if we have grudges. We can't do that if we've got bitterness in our heart. We can't do that if there's anger. We can't do that if there's malice or hatred in our hearts. We can't do it if we're closed up. You got to open up, receive, and relieve, and watch God release them to you through His grace and restoration. It's what Jesus did for you and me, and it's what we're called to do for one another. So I challenge you today. Let's allow God to mend fractured relationships in His time and in His way. Nobody's being forced to do anything today. Should be voluntary. All right, but no matter how deep the wound, we've got to get to a point in our lives where we open up our hearts and we allow Christ to let the healing begin. I'm going to close with this true story. And it's really only fitting that I end today's message with this. As you all know, midway this afternoon, in just a couple hours, we're gonna remember and we're gonna honor one of our dearest, most precious members of the family, Ray Skipper. And I love that man. And I've spent so much time with him, hearing from him, and praying with him, and loving him, and trying to minister to him. But you know how it is with Ray. You'd go over to his house to try to bless him and minister to him, and you'd go home minister to and blessed, right? But over and over, he'd do that for me. And I'm going to miss him. And I'm glad he's in heaven. And I rejoice in that. I do. But I'm going to be honest with you. Wednesday was hard. Not because he died, okay? But because I just wanted one more chance. I saw him right before I left and last week. And I selfishly prayed, Lord, would you keep him here until next Saturday? Because I just want to see him one more time. And doggone it, Ray didn't listen to a thing I said. He died anyways. And he went on to be with the Lord. And that's all right. But let me tell you a story of how I learned from Ray. Several years back, our church went through a pretty rough season. And it was largely in part because there was a spirit of unforgiveness and grace in this church. I know it. You can call it what you want to call it. That's what was happening. And I remember I was just so disappointed. I was hurting. It was hard. The church was divided. It shouldn't have ever happened. And then you say it won't divide. Well, about 63 people left. Yeah, it was divided. And I remember going over to Ray Skipper's house, and they weren't well then. And they said they didn't really know all that was going on. They didn't need to. But along the way, you know how it is in Polk County. Along the way, they'd heard a few things. And one day I came by. Winter 2015, I was angry, I was in the wrong, I was bitter, and I was done. I was done. And I was questioning why I was even a pastor here, because I'm like, how in the world can people have fellowship together if they're all leaving? Everybody says, you know, don't take it personally, you know, when they leave. How can you as a pastor, you're going to take it personally? And so Ray knew it. And here's what he said to me. I'll never forget it. He said, son, are you all right? Of course, I lied to Ray. You're not supposed to do that. But I lied. And this is what he did. He opened up his Bible, and he turned to his favorite verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he just paused in that For God so loved. For God so loved. And Ray said, and I'll never, ever forget it. And I thank God for this moment because it saved my ministry. It saved my walk here. It saved everything that I've got here. And he says, I don't know. He said, I don't know what's going on. But he said, we're called to love people. He says, when we shouldn't judge anybody. And so this is what he told me. Peter, love them and love those that are struggling. Jesus did. We should too. And he never said a word about it from that point forward. And in that moment, he promised, he said, things are going to be okay. And I'm here to tell you today, they are and they will be. Let's learn a lesson today, not just from Ray Skipper, but one from Jesus. We have got to learn, church, to receive those whom have harmed us. And we have got to learn to be on the other side too, ready to be received when we have hurt somebody else. All right, let's pray together. Lord, I want us now just to pause and think about our life, our witness, and our relationships. It's a serious message here in Philemon. I know it's a short letter, but you packed a pretty hard punch when you spoke to Philemon about receiving Onesimus. Mainly because Onesimus had your heart, and if Onesimus had your heart, that means he had Christ's heart. And the call and the challenge today for Onesimus and Philemon is the same call that we have today. Broken relationships were meant to be mended by the grace of Jesus Christ. They were meant to be fixed. And there's not a relationship out there. And I know that we could go all day and all night talking about those that have hurt us and how we've hurt them and how deep the wounds are and how they could never be restored or never be fully recovered. But I know that if you could restore sinners, if you could save sinners, if you could die on the cross for sinners like me and like so many people in this room, for all of us, if you could do that, surely man can make right with other men. And women with other women. And the church can be one. I know that. I know it's possible. And so we don't have an excuse today. We have a call in the Word of God to begin to pray and to receive one another in love, even if we have been hurt. And I know it takes time. I understand it may take years. It may take weeks. It may take days. It may take a lifetime to make things right. But I just pray for this church. That if we ever have issues, if we ever have divisions, if we ever have hard words, or if we ever do anything in harm, that we would be quick to respond and receive one another in grace. God, you can do that within any church. You can do that within this church. You can do that with the most broken church, the most divided church. You can do that. But it takes believers living as believers. And God, I pray for our church that we would be true to that call. To look like Jesus in our relationships. To respond like Jesus in our relationships. God, move in our hearts. Move in our hearts. I want to pray today for someone who may have never trusted in Christ and have received restoration and forgiveness of sin. What Onesimus and Philemon were able to do, you have done for us spiritually through Jesus Christ. I'm grateful, Lord, for ultimate freedom and salvation in your name. And I pray today that if someone needs to give their heart to Christ and they need to be forgiven and given the grace of Almighty God and the salvation of the Lord, I pray that they would pray in their hearts to receive Christ as Savior and God. I pray, Lord, that they would be obedient. And I pray that they would see that the greatest relationship that can be mended is the relationship that we have with you. And so, Lord, begin with those who don't know you as Savior. But I know that there's a call and a challenge because we have so many believers in the room. There's this call and a challenge to receive one another in grace and in love. And so I want to pray as we pray today. I know that people have already come up to mind. There may be family members that have come up to mind. There may be church family that have come to mind. Or friendships that are no longer friendships that have come up to mind. Or relationships with a husband or a wife. Or a former husband, a former wife, with children that may come to mind that have been broken, that need your mending, that need your grace, that need your care and your touch. And I pray, Lord, that we would diligently pursue to do things as you say to do them in the Word of God. Oh, there should be no excuses, no objections. We need to respond in obedience. And so, Lord, if that means that we need to write down whom we have struggles against or hardships against or hard feelings against, Maybe we need to write them down name by name. And would you begin to work on our hearts to go to them and receive them in love and ask for forgiveness, or on the other side, receive forgiveness. But may we not stop until restoration and reconciliation has taken place. Lord, deal with our hearts. Challenge us, oh God. I pray, Lord, that we would be very prayerful today about what we have heard in the Word of God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, service today is at 2 p.m. And I do hope that you will come. Please come and worship with us tonight at 6 if you're able to. God bless you all. We'll see you later.